154 clean, episode 27. Don't let's chart Game of Thrones, but mostly Leicester. Now,
what?
I didn't write that. Because I've got a bit, you know, we've done so many of these episodes, I've been struggling to cut with intros.
Right.
And then someone linked me to a website called talktotransformer.com.
Oh, yes.
Not your Transformers, not Dirty Transformers. But you basically put some text in and it completes it for
you. Yeah, it extrapolates based on whatever writing you give it, doesn't it? It's
yeah, so I put in a few of the old intros.
Right, and that's what it came up with?
No, there's more.
Oh, God, okay.
This is Don't Let's Chart, the Today's Chart show for the weekly ESN podcast. Over the course of the show, we will cover all things ESN, including Don't Let Me Stop You, Don't Let Me Stop Me, Top 10 Developers, Diaries, A Bit of Hype. Today, Phil does pretty well, but can't avoid to start to notice the fact that nope, no gravy. So how did the podcast get started? Because they wanted to put some love into a well-loved game. So I created a second podcast, not including Dave. Only good people. To keep me working on both projects. Such a good boy. I know you have a good year ahead of you, so don't let it go to waste. Love, pecans. How about that? Love it. Why not? Thanks, Phil and Ben.
I have some questions.
Welcome to Don't Let's Chat. Hello and welcome to... This is just me speaking now. Yep. This is not Transformer. This is Ben Baker. Pecans, love, gravy, nope.
And I'm Phil ESN Catterall. What's ESN, Ben? It was in there about three times. We've never said it.
No, I assume it stands for Emu's Sexual Nature.
Also, pecans, for some reason.
Yeah, and the second podcast, not including Dave.
Not including Dave. We don't want any Dave.
No.
Even some Daves we know.
Daves we know, we know.
We do.
So, hello, and welcome to another episode of Don't Let's Chart. This week's is a special. There's something I mean to promote.
Right.
Something, I'm sure.
You'll figure it out, be fine.
I think it's a book.
Okay.
I'm sure it's a book thing.
Right.
I know it must be.
What?
Friends of the show, John Rain and Louis Barth, have both got books out.
Oh, okay.
Now, John, who hosts Smersh Pod, a much, much more popular podcast than this one.
And indeed, better.
Which I have been allowed to ruin once. Has put out Thunderbook, a book about all things James Bond. And Louis put out a book about Ken Dodd.
Right.
Which, generally, it's fascinating. Especially because, I think for our generation, we don't really know that much about Ken Dodd. You know, his kind of big era had passed, and to us, he really is, for a lot of reasons, the guy from that episode of Doctor Who.
I mean, let's be clear. To me, absolutely. I think he was still, like, you know, variety performance and stuff at that point, I'm guessing. I've not read Louis' book. But he was past his huge heyday, I think, at that point.
I mean, he was on the precipice of it, because if you remember in the 90s, he did a few of those audience wids that were absolutely riotous.
Mm.
So, you know, it's not a dismissal to him, but is there some way that we can combine those two things into a chart?
What, combine James Bond and Doctor Who?
Well, yeah, I suppose, because I'm guessing there's not a lot of Diddy Men lists out there.
There are very few lists that combine the works of Ian Fleming with tickling sticks. No, those are not.
And Dickie Mints. So, what have you got?
I have got, from BBC America, of all places, a list of 10 people from Doctor Who that were also in James Bond, or vice versa, depending on how you want to...
They were in Vice Versa with Judge Reinhold.
No one was in Vice Versa with Judge Reinhold.
Kevin Arnold, what?
Shut up.
Right, let's do it. Starting at one.
Number one, Timothy Dalton.
No, who were he?
He was, as we have discussed previously, Ben, the best James Bond. Yes, he was. Shut up. James Bond. That's who he was in the Bond film. He was James Bond. We've all heard of him.
That's confirmed.
He's in... this is a fact that most people don't know. James Bond is in all the Bond films.
I just assumed it was some sort of concept thing.
and was, of course, Rassilon in the sort of the back end of Russell T. Davis and David Tennant's tenure.
Yeah, in the kind of end Time Lords are actually alive kind of spectaculars.
And they don't say until, like, right at the end that he's Rassilon, which,
no.
for those who are unfamiliar with the Doctor Who universe, was, like, original Time Lord founder person.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was sort of a, like, oh, that was Rassilon. Oh, he's gone.
Number two,
Anthony Ainley.
Familiar with his mastery of the role, you could say, as TV master. But what, who's he in the James Bond?
Right, this is slightly obscure. He is one of the policemen in Hong Kong who discover James Bond's body in the opening sequence of You Only Live Twice. He's in a hotel room with a woman. He gets into the bed, and the bed, like, goes up into the wall, and then two blokes with machine guns show up and shoot the... I think it's two blokes with machine guns, anyway. Shoot the bed as it's up in the wall, and he's supposed to be dead. And then, of course, he's not dead. His body gets wrapped up and dumped into the sea, where he gets picked up by a submarine, and then the main plot starts. So, yeah.
Right, fair enough. I mean, I do like the idea of starting with going, yeah, no, this is just Bond film where he's dead in the first 5 minutes, and that's it. Just carry on.
It was definitely at a point where Sean Connery did not want to be doing it anymore, so he might have read the script and gone, oh, I die at the start, great. No, Sean, no, you've got to keep going.
I think he thought he was going to regenerate. Yeah. There'll be some fan fiction somewhere that ties regeneration to James Bond.
Oh, there definitely is. I've definitely heard the argument advanced that James Bond is a Time Lord, which is no. Anyway.
At three,
on a Blackman.
Who's on a Blackman? Get off him! He's trying to do his job!
Right. No.
Sorry. No. Honor Blackman, of course, it's like, oh, sexy Honor Blackman. Yeah, but we grew up with the upper hand where she was like, it's 90.
I mean, you know what? Still worked for me, I'll be honest.
It was quite weird at one point. The upper hand was on where she was, obviously, the feisty grandmother. And at the same time as Avengers repeats on
yes,
before.
Which is.
And it did take a little bit of getting your head round, the 30 year gap, but.
Indeed.
Still would, summit tell your mates.
Anyway.
Obviously, she was famously funny for everyone.
No. Pussy Galore was, of course, her name.
That's it.
Right, can you remember who she was in Doctor Who, Ben? I'll give you a clue. It's from the first episode I remember watching, which we've discussed before.
So, it's about 84. 85-ish?
A little bit later. You're not going to get...
It's Trial of a Time Lord.
Yes, it is. She's in Terror of the Verboids.
Of course she is. Yes, she is. If you've never seen those episodes, it's a nothing but trouble situation.
Oh, I like Colin Baker. Good Lord, Terror of the Verboids is not... I don't understand how, if this was my entry point to Doctor Who, I am invested as I am, because... It's a mess. Anyway.
At four.
Hugh Bonneville. So he was in Curse of the Black Spot.
He's a pirate.
He was a pirate. And very good he was.
Who is he in the James Bond?
Right, he's in Tomorrow Never Dies. He's at the start of it. There's a bit of a naval battle thing going on. And he's like an air warfare officer in the background somewhere. So there you go.
Right, okay. Five.
John Cleese.
To say he's in Doctor Who is, I mean, he is.
Yep.
And he's in arguably one of the greatest episodes of all time.
Yes, indeed.
He is just stood there for a minute. In fact, the main existence for John Cleese being on Doctor Who is to have those really off-colour outtakes that are on the BBC Christmas tapes.
Tom, sorry to bother you. Sign this for my little... Godson, would you? It's a nice little kid, he's blind.
You got a pen?
I haven't. Oh, never mind. I'll tell him this time.
So, obviously, he's in... is he in three or four Bond films?
I think he's in three. He's in the latter three Brosnan films as Q's assistant. He's not in GoldenEye, he's in the other ones.
Do you think he works? I always find it very distracting.
No, I don't think he works at all. I like the idea of Q training up an assistant, because Desmond Llewellyn was getting on a bit. him and his massive hands. I mean, and there's the idea as well that you're replacing Q because he's too old with a man who at that point was already, what, in his 60s? It's not...
Yeah, no, that's fair. Yeah, at six.
At six, Catherine Schell, who is also in City of Death.
Oh, yeah.
So she's the bad guy's wife, kind of, sort of. But yeah, she's in on Her Majesty's Secret Service as well, as Nancy. So there you go.
Good solid name.
Yeah.
Seven,
right. This list is already struggling. So Samantha Bond, who was the third Money Penny, I think.
After Lois Maxwell and...
I think Caroline Bliss was in the two Dalton films. Or Catherine Bliss. It's definitely something Bliss.
Some kind of Bliss.
Yeah, very good. So she was it. She was Mrs. Wormwood, a bad guy in the Sarah Jane Adventures, which is not Doctor Who. It's not Doctor Who.
No.
It's a different thing.
I'm sure I watched all of the Sarah Jane Adventures. I remember none of it.
I'm all for spin-offs. Good for them.
K-9.
Not that one. For many reasons. Move on.
Eight.
Paul Darrow.
God, Time Lash.
He's not just in Time Lash. He's a unit officer in the Silurians.
For those who don't know, obviously Ray died this year. Paul Darrow is... He crops up in so much, but he'll always be Kay Raven from Blake 7.
Yeah, you know, I mean,
he's a fantastic anti-hero bastard, kind of.
Yes.
Yeah, computer whiz and no fools.
He is always playing a smug, sneering guy, and we love him for it. Time Lash is the main one, which is another Sixth Doctor one, and I don't know.
No.
No.
And in Bond?
In Bond, he is a doctor in Die Another Day.
I was wiping itself from my mind as I was watching it. Nine!
At nine, Jeffrey Palmer. So he's the captain of the ship in Voyage of the Damned.
With lovely Kylie Minogue.
Indeed.
The only one, in fact, that really works as a Christmas Day episode.
Well...
Because it's just a standalone story where your grandma's not asking you every 5 minutes, oh, who's that?
Indeed.
Why is he doing science? What is a space?
Yeah. So, in Bond, in the aforementioned Hugh Bonneville scene in Tomorrow Never Dies... He's the admiral in charge of everything.
A lot of good admiral / captain work.
Yeah. The thing with Tomorrow Never Dies is that it's a scene where he's having an argument with Judi Dench at the point where... what was that sitcom?
As Time Goes By, was it?
Yeah. So it was like, here is a weird in-joke reference, but only for people in the UK and not for anyone else. So
compared to what they do now for China, I suppose.
Well, yeah, okay, no, that's fair.
Small bits. Just like 5 minute scenes of Iron Man going, buy Chinese produce!
Produce? So what, vegetables?
Yeah, I guess. Why not?
Good.
Number 10.
Number 10, Stephen Burkoff. So he's the main villain in Octopussy. Where he's basically doing like the same thing that he does in, I think, is it Rambo 2 that he's in? Where he's just a slightly mad Russian general shouting at people. He said he did it for money, which, you know, fair enough. I can't blame him, but don't be a knob about it.
Correct, you did. Who was he in Doctor Who?
Who was he in Doctor Who? Right, you know The Power of Three, the Chris Chibnall episode? He's the bad guy in that.
God.
So I want to point something out here. So we've got one here where we've got someone was in Sarah Jane Adventures. We've got two people that were in City of Death. There's a third person that was in City of Death who was a Bond villain, and they've missed him out. And it's Julian Glover because...
I said Julian Glover.
Because Glover's been in everything.
Yes, yes.
So, I mean, like, he's one of those people at conventions where it's like, you can put this guy on every panel... Because he's been in all of it. Also, Diana Rigg.
At least they got Dalton.
Yeah, at least they got Dalton. That's fair.
So, if you want to learn loads more about James Bond, Thunderbook by John Rayne is out now. And if you want, not about Doctor Who, but maybe there's some of his Doctor Who stuff in there. But the equally fabulous Louis Barth's Happiness and Tears, The Ken Dodd Story. Both very recommended.
The great British sense of humour. But what is a laugh? I mean, what is a laugh is a noise that comes out of a hole in your face. Anywhere else, you're in dead trouble. See, what happens is... A laugh starts here in your chuckle muscle. Now that's the chuckle muscle in the middle of your diagram. Then it works its way up past through your clack and now through your titter valve. See, everybody should do your aunt next time you get out of the bath. Just check up. You should have by rights two of everything down the sides and one of everything down the middle. That doesn't count, sir. You're from the Isle of Man.
That wasn't it. There was something.
It's not anything I've got anything to do with. So, you know, whatever it is, it's probably not important.
I'm thinking books. It's definitely something with books. And
right.
Like, if I don't know. If you had to pick top 10 of any kind of books, what would the subject be?
Well, as you know, Ben, I have a wide variety of interests. But I would say that my key interest these days, Ben, is gravy.
That's it. Top 10 gravy books on Amazon. That's the list.
Of course it was.
So here is Amazon's genuine top 10 books about gravy. Or mention gravy in the title.
It's the second one.
Right now. Number one.
50 Shades of Gravy.
How did I write that?
No, you didn't. £7.99 in paperback, Ben. Rude recipes for dirty dinner parties. Now.
I don't want to go down.
Here are some example recipes from the book. Hot beef injections.
No.
Knickerbocker glory holes. That's it. That's the two examples it's given. I don't need more than that.
Oh, God. I don't want that when I'm eating.
Literally, all you need is, like, I don't know, grey rhymes with gravy and...
I mean, no, he doesn't.
Shut up. I'm going to write recipe.
Sexy sausage and mash.
Good.
Bracket sausage looks a bit like a willy.
Again, hot beef injections, knickerbocker glory holes. That's your two examples. Oh, hang on, I can look inside it. Hang on, let me see. Right, so... Cocktails, a quick hand...
cocktails!
Oh, no, that's not the joke, A quick hand shandy.
Is that just a shandy?
I don't know. In the light bite section, hot cock on baps.
That's...
And, hold on...
I assume that's chicken, then.
Hold on. Here comes a big shift in tone. Necrophiladelphia cheese sandwiches.
Right
now.
Now. I am not coming to your party. Please do not invite me to any of your parties.
You can't just go from tee hee boobs to sex with dead things. Let's move on.
Oh, thank Christ there isn't a child's party section at the back.
Number two, Gravy Cookbook. A gravy cookbook with easy gravy recipes. £6.99, Ben.
Where's the shaggy...
£7 worth of gravy recipes.
I don't know, you have a gravy recipe. It's a thing. And then you add gravy.
So
it's just like, buy these items pre-made, add gravy.
But importantly, the description for this item starts with, in massive letters, gravy changes everything. Which, I mean, it's accurate.
Michael Ball's finest moment.
And also,
the title of this episode, clearly.
It's true. But it is correct, because, you know, whatever you throw gravy on is changed forever. That is...
Oh, God, I'm going to die. Number three
is a notebook. Gravy nutrition facts. Gift funny Thanksgiving costume journal / notebook. Blank lined ruled 6x9, 100 pages. It's just a notebook that has some gravy facts on the cover.
For the gravy fan in your life.
It's, you know, it's literally just like the nutritional values for gravy.
And I would love to see the face of anyone who's bought that for Christmas this year.
Okay, well, you better bring a mirror round, because there's no way you're not getting that now.
Four.
Introduction to gravies and sauces. Add taste to your meals.
Hello. Welcome.
Add taste to your meals, Ben. Your meals didn't taste of anything before, but now you know about gravy. So
it does feel like it's an ancient Incan secret that they're letting you in on.
Hang on, I'm just going to see what other books are by the same author. Oh, I'm really glad I did. A Beginner's Guide to Cacti. My First Book About Ducks. The Magic of Coriander for Cooking and Health. Knowing the Value of Green Manure. Komodo Dragons for Kids, Ben. Learn How to Paint with Airbrush for Beginners. This guy has a wide variety of interests.
I could say, he is a WikiHow on legs. Yeah.
Sloths for Kids.
No, yeah.
1-800 Sloths for Kids. How to Build Shipping Container Homes. Can we do the chart about this guy instead, Ben? Because this is like he's just rolled a dice to determine his interests. How to Make Your Own Cleaning Products. Why?
Oh, God, quick, move on to 5.
Right. Okay, hold on. I need a deep breath.
Oh, God.
Hello, exclamation mark. 50 Michigan recipes, colon, best Michigan cookbook ever for beginners. Brackets, sourdough cookbook, sauces and gravies cookbook, cabbage cookbook, jalapeno cookbook, sourdough bread cookbook. Brackets, book one.
Well, you don't want to start a book two and not be able to follow the plot, obviously, you know.
The cover for this book is... I need to send you this cover so that you can see it.
Okay. I am opening the cup. What's it? It's a brown, amorphous nothing.
Yeah.
With some more brown of a slightly different attack. And then I literally don't know what that is meant to be as a meal.
What's the author's name, Ben? What's the author's name?
Mr. USA!
Now go and look at his other books.
Jewish recipes. Cajun and Creole recipes. Cabbage cookbook. My God, there's a 96.
From the Cradle to the Gravy, Fan Tales of the Mac Lads. You like the Mac Lads, don't you?
Oh, no. A book about the Mac Lads?
Yeah.
What does it go? Some men made some really offensive songs and the people went, ha, 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 ha. Because the disrespect... Oh, I hate the Mac Lads. So Mac Lads are one of them things I first heard on a tape in the early 90s, I'd say. So it was they were already going a bit. Because if you get old issues of Viz like I've got, they're in everyone advertised. Like,
yep.
Like, the first song I heard was a parody of Sweet's Blockbuster.
Right.
And it was, he sits where he likes in the pub. Fat bastard.
Yeah.
And then there were lots, and then the Sweaty Betty and stuff. It's like, the vile it's, punk songs.
Yes.
Guaranteed to be played at 50 festivals this year.
So it was, this book is an unofficial book.
What? It's not even an official book.
It contains swear words, ruder than toilet, and it's 100% unofficial. So, yeah.
Oh, well, obviously I'll hold out then.
Good.
Hate the Mac Lads. I really hate them. They are. I like comedy music. I do. I'm a big fan. You know, Lonely Island, Flight of the Conchords,
yeah,
Paul
Burnham,
Tenacious D, and that. But no. I'm good. 7.
50 Shades of Gravy. Because everyone thinks this is a funny title. This one.
It's a different one.
This one is a Christian romance novel. Yep.
No. Yep. No.
So
I have no words.
It's a romance novel with recipes in it.
Like you said that, like that mech's like, oh no, this will clear it all up.
No.
It's a Mills and Bone with some smashing recipes for tarama salata in the back.
Yep. That's it, basically. Yep. Yep.
Number 8.
Gravy Cookbook, a gravy cookbook with easy gravy recipes, second edition. Yeah, it's the one that was at number 3, but it's the second edition.
More gravy.
Two editions. What I like is that the second edition is further down the page, so you're more likely to get the outdated edition if you're looking for a gravy cookbook than you are to get the correct one.
I was thinking it was a second volume.
No, second edition.
Oh, so it's just an upgraded version.
This one.
Well, I'd hate to be a faux pas at a dinner party. Outdated gravy recipes.
The only way you know it's any different is because the description says second edition.
time. Number nine.
Number nine. Composition notebook, pour some gravy on me, Jaden Animations, Thanksgiving journal / notebook, blank line rules. Now, I want to show you this one. Ben, you need to see this one. Okay, can you please, for the listeners at home...
So it's another funny notebook.
Yep. Please describe the cover of this notebook, Ben.
Okay, so... Why is there a bird on it?
No, no. Pour some gravy on a bird. That's okay. Describe the bird, Ben.
It's a fully feathered blue tit.
I was going to say, it's not a bird you'd pour gravy on.
It's fully feathered and boned. £5.41. Pour some gravy on me, a bird.
Ian Bird.
And number 10, and genuinely I did not think there would be.
there's more than 10. We could keep going for hours. Number 10, deep breath again. Hello, 1, 2, 3 gravy recipes, best gravy cookbook ever for beginners, brackets, gravy recipe book, best sauces cookbook, Thanksgiving gravy book, best hot sauce recipe book, gravy book, brackets, book one. Now, Ben, I want you to look at this one as well.
Okay.
I want you to look at this one.
So this is the Mr. USA?
Well, this is the thing. So I'd like you to look at the art style there.
Again, it's brown, a lot of brown.
But
then there's a bowl of something.
But who's the author?
Mr. Side Dish!
No, Ms. Side Dish, Ben.
Oh, Ms. Side Dish! It's such a wanky font on the front, I couldn't even tell.
Now, when you click and look at Ms. Side Dish's books, it's very clear that this is exactly the same author because all the covers are the same. The books all start with hello! Exclamation mark. Now, I'm willing to bet that these are all the same recipes from the USA ones in a different order. And if so, I absolutely salute the person doing this for finding a way to recycle this content.
I mean, why am I struggling writing actual books about stuff
because
when I could be...
You don't have 77 pesto recipes, Ben. You don't have 50 applesauce recipes. Have you got 123 barbecue sauce recipes, Ben? You haven't. You haven't.
No, I don't have done things.
185 soy sauce recipes, Ben. 185.
That's not gravy.
It's not.
Because it's a sauce, don't make it a gravy. That sounds like a country song, doesn't it? Just because it's a sauce, don't mean it's gravy.
175 tomato pasta sauce recipes. 175.
There's not. It's pasta and sauce.
No. No, there's nearly 200 different ways you can have tomato pasta sauce. There's all the different sorts of pasta, and there's all the different sorts of tomato, and there's how chunky the tomato is, and you just mix those combinations around. And
I'd cash in on unfortunate people who've got a Kindle for Christmas.
Exactly. Hang on, I'm going to look inside at some of these recipes. Okay, I'm going to like midway. I'm starting with number 142 of these recipes.
Obviously.
142. Spag bol. Good. 143. Yeah. Spaghetti sauce from the slow cooker. 144. Spaghetti sauce 1. 145. Spaghetti sauce 2. 146. Spaghetti sauce 3. 147. Spaghetti sauce 4. There's more.
How many?
Oh, no, they only do 1 through 4 numerically. You then get with cauliflower, with fresh tomatoes, with ground beef. And then
they're not recipes, just adding, I think.
Look, they can't get it to 175 without this.
With cauliflower. Without cauliflower.
Anyway, you know.
With some actual flour.
We've gone off on a tangent, Ben. There isn't time, because we're only doing the top 10, to talk about the next two, numbers 11 and 12, which are It's Only Gravy, 30 Delicious Recipes, Gravy and Gratitude, which is a romance novel, or I Draw the Line at Chocolate Gravy at number 13, or, appallingly at number 14, Baby Gravy.
Oh, no! Oh, God, I assume that's a romance sexy novel.
Yes, well, I mean, it's got a picture of a muscly torso holding a gravy boat, so I'm assuming so. But I can't see what's in the gravy boat. That's...
I have written my masterpiece. The characters have come together, the situations, the spirit, the love and affection I've got. And, it's all come together. I've put it in this book. My life and soul, my bloody's in it. Even my gravy's in it. Ooh, that's an idea. Ignore that name, the life and times of so-and-so. Baby gravy. Call it that. Got baby gravy. And I have a fella with a gravy boat where his knob is. And a little bit of gravy coming at the end. I mean, for crying out loud. Honestly, like, why do I bother writing books about actual subjects and stuff when I could bring...
Hold on a minute.
That's what I was meant to be talking about.
You wrote a book, didn't you?
I've written a book. That's it. I just remembered I've written a book. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's it. Yeah. Stop about gravy, though. Sorry.
I'm leaving.
Yeah.
I'm leaving now.
I've written a book. It's called Christmas Was Better in the 80s. And it's 125 little reviews of the big Christmas shows from the 80s, but also lots of weird things. I have sat through so many things in the last month with the words Christmas and special in the title. And I have gone nearly insane with this.
When you say it's a review of 125 things, how many of those things are spaghetti bolognese?
No. This is it. Like, no soy sauce, no spaghetti bolognese.
That's how you. That's
no
why you didn't get it.
Cauliflower.
That's why you didn't get it to 175 things.
I know. This is it. When I'm genuinely sat there this going, I've just spent a month writing a book, and this dick has just copy and pasted probably 100 odd recipes and then added nothing. Oh God. So yeah, I've written a book. It'll be benbakerbooks.org. It'll be on there soon. And it's all, I mean, if you've got a TV fan in your house, someone who likes old telly or comedy, interesting things, please do pick up a copy in time for Christmas. But in case you're not quite sold, as it's the end of the episode, I'm going to do a little bit of a quiz. Oh. A little bit of a quiz for you, lad. A little bit of a quiz.
We like a quiz.
I'm going to read you samples from programmes that are actually in the book. Mm-hmm. You have to tell me what the programme is.
Okay.
A caveman adventure in BC times in which the birth of baby Jesus is celebrated. Is it funny? No. But then again, was it ever?
I believe it's the Flintstones, and therefore no, it was never funny.
No. Sunday tea times were a minefield when it came to ducking between short programmes trying to teach you literacy and charity appeals for people with special legs. But more than anything, it was the religious programmes that never seemed to bloody end. Even star-studded ones like this. And the idea the presenter was once known for anarchic comedy blew my mind. Gosh, the Metropolitan Cathedral Choir of Cardiff, I've got all your records.
Right. I mean, it was the anarchic comedy thing that I think has given it away. Is it Highway, Ben?
It was Highway. It was Highway. Ringo. You were a much better drummer than jokesters derided. If only you'd kept your Liverpool slagging, Brexit positive, despite living in LA and Monte Carlo, signature denying mouth shut, and only opened it to narrate these charming, gentle adaptations. Needless to say, he had the whole thing banned.
is this Thomas the Tank Engine, Ben?
And friends, and his friends.
Okay, fine.
Working as a team.
Yeah.
Yes, it was. A unique episode of the popular school drama that saw everyone die of heroin in the back of Mr. Bronson's car.
Hang on. All right,
maybe not. But this was a rare chance to see your characters out of uniform. The episode was unique because it featured a storyline suggested by the winner of a Blue Peter competition earlier in the year. And the winning storyline by 16-year-old Paul Manning was adapted for television by Phil Redmond, creator of the series, and who managed to resist the urge to write Gurgur Thatcher over it in big red letters.
Is it Grange Hill, Ben?
It is Grange Hill. Well done.
Thanks. Good.
Oh, it's a good one. They've got Tucker's tired because he's been up watching pre-cert videos all night with his book.
Okay.
A reunion with a title character. Well, it is Christmas, time of goodwill and cheer, and oh God, everyone's dead! Everyone's dead!
I mean, I don't know what this is.
It's Blake Seven.
Oh!
Blake Seven finished just before Christmas.
Right!
Yeah, just upset more children.
Good.
And number one, the last one, these are all from my book, Christmas is Better in the 80s. Priced money. Well, it wouldn't be Christmas without the bent-nosed Malmackian cat muncher himself. Right, I know you know it, but just...
It could be anything, Ben. It could be anything.
No, I don't know. It's a strange episode which removes usual studio-based chuckles and goes on location, as Dad Willie decides to take his whole family out to a cabin in the woods. From there, the furry one is mistaken as a toy and taken to a children's hospital to meet tons of sick and dying kids and, oh, God, it's one of them episodes. Oh, when the door laughs and the serious message and the cat eating... All right, maybe that last one is exclusive to Alf. But did you ever want to see Alf cry? Because he does hear. Did you ever want to see Alf deliver a baby? That happens as well. Do you want to see Alf talk a depressed man down from a bridge? Yep, same again. And then at the end, they flash up a dedication to a real dead 8-year-old girl who inspired the story. You know what? No, I'm done. Fuck Christmas.
Is it Alf, Ben?
It is Alf. Yeah, that is a real episode. Alf's special Christmas is one of the most depressing things I've ever seen. Alf genuinely cries. Because that's what the kid, that's what we wanted, wasn't it? More sad Alf.
They didn't show that in Bumblebee, did they?
Thank you to everyone who sent stuff in and supports us Patreon and patreon.com/dolestchat.
That's the one.
Thanks to everyone on Twitter and everyone who says nice things and shares it. We wouldn't be here without you. And thanks to everyone who enjoyed the Alan and June episode. That one did seem it touched a special nerve for some people.
It did. Don't forget, we also have an email address. I know none of you care. At don'tletsshot@gmail.com. Why not just send something there? Because no one does. And I keep checking it. And it'd just be nice. I'm checking it now. I'm checking it now. Do you reckon there's anything in it, Ben?
Yeah. No.
Donation of £1.5 million. That, we don't need the Patreon anymore, Ben. We're sorted.
Yay! Is it Mr. Bobo Akinwande?
No, it's Francis and Patrick Collinet. And it says, congratulations to you. Just
congratulations
one. Just one. So we're going to have to share that.
So until next time, I have been today's chat show for weekly ESN podcasts.
And I have been 175 recipes for tomato sauce.
Mm-mm. Tastes good. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Right, first I'm going to be tomato sauce 2.
Oh, that's the best one. I wanted that one.
Then 4. Then with cauliflower. Then without cauliflower again.
Oh, my God. I don't think I can go on. This is so emotional. I'm getting a stalk on, I think, here. Yeah.